Amen. Our text of Scripture for today consists just of five words that you will find in the middle or near the end there of verse number 1 of Genesis chapter number 17. And they are the words of I am the Almighty God. I am the Almighty God. Now, one of the greatest compendiums of Christian doctrine that any Christian can ever read or study is the Shorter Catechism. And question 4 of the Catechism asks the question, what is God? And the answer given is this. It says, God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. And in that answer there, you have the attributes of God listed for us. And one of the great attributes that we find mentioned there in that answer to question 4 of the Catechism is the power of God. And it is this same attribute of God's power that is also being referred to in our text this morning in Genesis chapter 17 in the verse number 1. The verse says, and when Abraham was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Now in Genesis chapter 17, there you see from what is said in verse 1 that Abraham is now an old man. He is 99 years of age. The scriptures would show us that it is 13 years since the Lord last spoke to Abraham back in Genesis chapter number 15. And during those 13 years, there has been carelessness and backslidings in the life of Abraham. But whenever we come to Genesis chapter 17, such is the mercy and the grace of God that the Lord comes to Abraham again and he reveals himself to him. And with this revelation, the Lord speaks these tremendous words here in the latter part, in particular, verse 1 of Genesis 17, when he says, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. My, the result of this visitation is that a fresh work of sanctification is done in the life of Abraham. Abraham is drawn into a closer walk with God. He is drawn into a place of greater blessedness and usefulness for God. And my, it is in the midst of this revelation that God himself refers to the attribute of his own power when he says here to Abraham, I am the Almighty God. In the original language of the Old Testament, that word for Almighty is the word El Shaddai. That's the Hebrew word in the original. And that word simply means God who is most strong. The God who can do whatsoever he pleases. And people, it is this attribute of God's almighty power that I want us to think about today in this worship service. Why do we say that? Well, if ever there was a day when we needed a fresh glimpse of God's almighty power, it is in this ungodly day and generation in which we live. As we would think then today upon this attribute of God's power that is bound up in these words in our text, when God said to Abraham, I am the Almighty God, there are three things in particular that I want us to note. And as we ponder these things, I pray today that if you are a believer in this service of worship, that you will be drawn closer to the Lord God and to your Savior. But if you are not saved in this meeting, I pray also that even through his word today that you will be encouraged in your heart and soul in this meeting house this very morning to seek the Lord, to call upon the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation. First of all, then, let us look at the meaning of this title, I am the Almighty God. What does it mean? Well, it means that God is sovereign in his authority over man. Just as every citizen of the United Kingdom is under the sovereign authority of Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II, so all mankind is under God's authority. God is sovereign over all. In the book of Daniel chapter 4 and the verse number 35, you read some tremendous words there about God. And this is what it says about God. He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest thou, Lord? And that highlights the truth that God is sovereign. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in His great commission to His disciples before He ascended up into heaven. At the end of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, He says, all power is given unto Me in heaven and in earth. And again, it emphasizes this truth that God is sovereign. And the sovereign authority of God was the truth that God here reveals unto His child Abraham in this verse when He says to him, I am the Almighty God. And by that statement to Abraham when he was 99 years of age, God here was wanting Abraham to realize that no matter what happened to him in this life, no matter what his circumstances were, no matter what was to befall him, he was to remember, never lose sight of the fact that God was almighty, that God was a sovereign over all. And my friends, just as it was needful for Abraham to understand and remember this great truth, so it is also needful for us also to remember that God is sovereign over all. And to every single one of you in this meeting this morning, young and old alike, I say to you, never lose sight of this truth in your life. For as long as your life will last upon this earth, that God is sovereign over all. John Calvin, the great preacher and theologian of the Protestant Reformation, had this to say. He said, God has a sovereign right to dispose of us as He pleases. And by those words, he was underscoring this very same truth that God is sovereign over all. My, as the King who sits upon the throne of heaven, God is sovereign. God is sovereign in the entire universe. In the book of Proverbs, he says, by me, kings reign. Even the very elements of this world are under His sovereign control. Listen to what God says in Job 38, verse 11, as he speaks of the power of the seas and the oceans. He says, hitherto shalt thou come, but no further, and here shall thy proud waves be stayed. Even the very waves are under His sovereign control and might and power. Yes, this little text, I am the Almighty God, yes, it means that God is sovereign in His authority over men. Dear people, if God is not sovereign, and I say this with reverence, God is not God at all. He is the sovereign God of all. He is the one who is sovereign in His authority over man. But it also means that God is infinite in His power. In other words, His power is without measure. His power is without limit. His power is without end. You know, people, if God had not the power to match His authority, He would cease to be God. However, the Bible would show us and teach us that He is absolute in His authority and He is infinite in His power. In other words, His power, the power of God, knows no end. And may you see the infinite power of God displayed in the creation of this world. This world was not made by a big bang, nor did man originate from monkeys, as the false teaching of the evolutionists would say and try to tell us. Rather, such was God's power that He spake this very world into His existence. It says in Psalm 33, verse 9, for He spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. He spake this world in 6 literal days into existence and created man upon the earth. People, whenever you look at God's creation all around you, you see the glory of God's power all around you. The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God, the glory of His infinite power. Then we also see God's infinite power displayed in the conversion of sinners. You see, every individual saved is a testimony to God's infinite power. You turn in your Bible over to Ephesians chapter 1 and the verse number 19. And look at what Paul says there as he speaks of himself and addresses also the believers in the church at Ephesus. And he's emphasizing this very point that in the conversion of a soul, in the saving of a soul, God's infinite power is exercised and displayed. In Ephesians 1 and the verse number 19, he says, "And what is the exceeding greatness," notice it, "of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power." Child of God, in our meeting today, your salvation, I tell you this, is a witness to God's almighty power. Never lose sight of that. In fact, the power of God in your salvation was even greater than the power of God that was seen and exercised at creation. You turn in your Bible over to Psalm 8 and the verse number 3 and just look at what is said there about creation, about the power of God involved in creation. Psalm 8 verse 3, the psalmist says, "When I consider thy heavens and the work," notice it, "of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained." Notice there how the psalmist speaks of the fingers of God being used in the creation of this world. Bear that in mind. Then go on over in your Bible over to Isaiah chapter number 59. Isaiah chapter number 59. And look with me, please, there at the verse number 16. And here you see greater power of God displayed in the salvation of sinners. It says in Isaiah 59 verse 16, "And he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm," not his fingers, "his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness sustained him." Now the Bible tells us in Psalm 8 verse 3 of the fingers of God being used in creation. That's a symbol of lesser power than the arm. But in Isaiah 59 verse 16, we're told there that God's arm, in other words, greater power is displayed by God in the salvation of every sinner and the salvation of all of his people through the great atoning death and work and redemptive work of Christ upon the cross. Maybe I'm speaking to one in the meeting this morning and you're not seeing. Friend, you need to look to God and Christ. You need to put your faith and trust in Christ, the eternal Son of God, who came into this world, who died for guilty sinners upon the cross. You need to call upon Him and trust Him and look to Him by faith for salvation. He says, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth. For I am God and there is none else. And my, when you look to Him, He'll forgive your sins. And by His grace and power, He'll give you power and grace and strength the moment you trust Him to live for Him and to live for His honor and for His glory." Yes, we see the meaning here of this title, "I am Almighty God," in our text this morning. But not only the meaning here of this title, but notice secondly the warning from this title, "I am the Almighty God." You know, as God is infinite in His power, and as He is absolute in His authority, then He needed to be feared by Abraham. And that same fear applies to all mankind. Remember what Peter says in 1 Peter 2, verse 17. He says there, "Honor the king." And then he says these words, "Fear God." And that is something that applies to each and every one of us. The command is there to us all to fear God. See, the Bible tells us that the fear of God is wisdom in His sight. In the book of Job, it says, "Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. To depart from evil is understanding." That this fear of God is the same fear that Christ commands us to have in Matthew's Gospel 10, verse 28, when he says, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both body and soul in hell." And what does this fear of God mean on account of his greatness, the greatness of his power and his authority? This fear of God means, dear people, that we are to repent of our sins. Turn from our sins. It says in Proverbs 3, verse 7, "Be not wise in thine own eyes, but fear the Lord and depart from evil." It means also that we are to seek eternal life through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as our own and personal Savior. The Bible says, "The fear of the Lord that attendeth to life." Man, woman, young person, in our meeting today, in light of God's almighty power, the warning from our text to you and I is this, that we are to live in the fear of God. That's how we are to pass our days upon this scene of time. For us not to live in the fear of God is folly. It's like a ship in a storm without a pilot, driven upon the rocks of the coast. It is but folly in man's part not to live in the fear of the Lord. You know, if we do not live in the fear of the Lord, then God's infinite power will not be for us, but rather it will be against us. In Daniel chapter 5, you read there of an unbelieving king, the name of Belshazzar. He had no fear of God in his life. He defiled the holy vessels of God's house with alcohol and drunkenness and immorality, and God judged him for his sin. It says this, "And that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain." Unsaved friend, in our meeting this morning, let me say this. The Bible says it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Oh, in light of the fact that God is almighty, I would urge you to fear the Lord, to repent of your sins. Unsaved man, woman, young person in our gathering today, and embrace Christ as he's freely offered to you in the gospel, and trust him as your personal Savior. The Bible says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." Remember this, that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, the God of heaven who is infinite in his power, the God of heaven who is absolute in his authority. Also over in Acts chapter 5, there you read of two professing believers in Christ, the name of Ananias and Sapphira. They had no fear of God. The Bible tells us how they lied to the Holy Ghost, and both fell down dead because of God's judgment upon them. Indeed, the Bible says, "Who have hardened himself against the Lord and have prospered." We cannot prosper if we harden our heart against the Lord and the ways of God for our life. It was old Bishop Cranmer who said that the learning of the Christian man ought always to begin with the fear of God. Maybe I'm speaking to one in the gathering today and you've professed faith in Christ, yet you have drifted away from the Lord. Oh, in light of God's almighty power, I would urge you this very morning to come back to the Lord and seek his restoring grace, his restoring mercy in your heart and life and soul as his child. For my, when you and I are saved, we are to live, the Bible says, in the fear of the Lord. Turn with me, please, over to Psalm number 89. Psalm number 89. Look at what is said there about God's people in the light of the fact that God is almighty and all-powerful. Psalm 89, the verse number 7. It says, "God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him." I am the almighty God. God is almighty. The warning of this great title is that you and I are to live in the fear of God. That's something the Bible stresses, the Bible emphasizes, the Bible teaches. The Bible says the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. It's wise to live in the fear of God in this world, in the scene of time. But Notice one final thought in connection with our text this morning. Notice also the comfort here of this title, I am the Almighty God. You know, whenever Abraham was saved, whenever Abraham was walking the fear of God, there was great comfort for him bound up in these words. When God revealed himself to him and said, I am the Almighty God, for by such a life, God's power would be engaged on his behalf. And that is how it is with all who walk in the ways of God and the fear of God. That is how it was to be with Abraham the rest of his life. And again, that comfort of God's almighty power is the person of all who are saved. It's the portion of all who are walking in the ways of God. Turn your Bible over to 2 Chronicles chapter number 16. And believer, here's a great promise for you to encourage you in this fact of living in the fear of the Lord in the light of God's almighty power in your behalf. 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and the verse number 9. It says, therefore the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Notice the promise, to show himself strong, the Almighty God, to show himself strong on the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward them. Dear child of God, this is your comfort. In this world, when you're saved, walking with God, walking in the fear of the Lord day by day, until the Lord comes and takes you home to heaven. God said here to Abraham, I am the Almighty God. In light of that, he says, walk before me. In other words, walk in the fear of God and be thy perfect. Live to the glory and honor of God day by day, and I will bless you. I will be your shield. I will be your defender. I will be your vindicator in your Christian life. Child of God, this is your portion as well. This is your comfort as well in this life. When you seek to walk before the Lord and live for his honor and for his glory in the fear of the Lord. What does this comfort mean? This comfort means power. To overcome the corruption of the old nature in our lives as God's people. Turn over to the book of Romans, Romans chapter number 8 and the verse number 24. Romans chapter 7 rather, verse 24 and verse number 25. And look at what Paul says there. He asks the question, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Speaking of that old sinful nature within him as a believer, as a child of God. And look at the answer he gives. He says, I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. There was victory for him through that old sinful nature through Christ. And through the power of the cross. And the power of his Savior. And dear child of God, by prayer, you and I also can seek grace and know grace to subdue that old nature within us as the people of God. This comfort also means power to overcome the temptations of Satan and the world. The Bible says the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations. This comfort also means to be kept from falling in the Christian life. It says in 1 Peter 1 verse 5 that we're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Believer in Christ this morning, through the blood of Christ, God's mercy pardons your sin. And through the Holy Spirit in your life, believer, God's power keeps you in the Christian pathway, going on with God and serving God. This comfort also means God's provision, believer, in your time of need. In other words, God will multiply your cruse of oil. The Lord will miraculously sustain and meet your needs and supply your needs day by day as his child. Over in Philippians chapter number 4 and the verse number 19, there you have that tremendous promise of the Lord to his people. Walking in obedience to the fear of the Lord, he says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God will meet your need day by day. David could say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And this comfort also means that as God's people, believer, you'll be raised unto eternal life, unto eternal glory in heaven. The Lord speaks of his people. He says, I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Christ says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. With God, all things are possible. As your almighty defender, believer in saving you, the Lord keeps you. That's his promise. He cannot deny his word. And he will keep you unto life eternal, unto everlasting glory and heaven itself. And then this comfort also means that the Lord will maintain his church and he will preserve it right to the very end of time. In Psalm 46, in the verse number 5, speaking of his church, it says, God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved, and God shall help her. That's his church, and that right early. Again, think of the wonderful promise of Christ in the Gospel of Matthew. Speaking of his church, he says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Indeed, Paul, speaking of God's people in the church of Christ, says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Brethren and sisters in Christ in this gathering, let me say, these are the tremendous covenant blessings that are bound up for you as a believer through these words in our text. When God says to your heart and soul in this gathering today, I am the Almighty God. Turn with me in your Bible over to Isaiah chapter number 40. Isaiah chapter number 40. And I want you to see what the Lord says here to his people, right at the very end of verse number 9 of Isaiah chapter number 40. Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 9. Look at the final three words of this verse, believer. It says, behold your God, the God who is almighty, who is infinite in his power, the God who is sovereign in his authority over all, God who is eternal, who changes not. Behold your God, believer, as you launch out into a new week that lies before you, whatever it brings. In every circumstance, in every situation that concerns you, remember this, that God is almighty. In circumstances in your home, circumstances in your family, health needs, health circumstances and situations, needs in the work of God, needs in your place of employment, needs nationally in our land and in our nation. Remember this, dear believer, that God is almighty. He says, I am the Almighty God. In light of that great truth, by God's grace, may you and I seek as God's people to walk before him, conscious of him whose eye is upon us, who is almighty, and to walk and to live in the fear of the Lord, that we might bring honor and glory to God by our life, by our testimony, in every situation and circumstance that confronts us and befalls us in life. Always remember, believer, that God is sovereign. He says, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. For Christ's sake and glory, may that be our testimony as a people and as a church. We're going to close our meeting this morning. We're singing together the hymn number 18 in your hymn book, the hymn number 18, the page 182. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. O my soul, praise him, for he is thy health and salvation. All ye who hear, brothers and sisters, draw near. Praise him in glad adoration. Hymn number 18 in the page 182, standing as we sing. Stand as we sing.
Oh,
Our Father and our God, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us here in Thy house today. Bless Thy word. Bless Thy truth. Write it upon our hearts. Lord, may each one of us realize afresh the great truth that Thou art almighty. Help us, Lord, as Thy people in every circumstance, every situation of life. Help us to prove Thy might and Thy power. To realize that Thou art the great I Am, that Thou art the one who can still every storm. Thou art the one that can make a way when there seems to be no way. And Thou art the one that can meet our every need. Remember any in our gathering today not saved. Oh, that they might seek the Lord, that they might call upon Him in mercy for salvation, we pray. And know the joy of what it is to have their sins forgiven, to be saved from the wrath to come, to be delivered from falling into the fearful hands of the living God, and to be set on the road to heaven and on the road to glory. Here in heaven, Thy dwelling place, and answer prayer. For we ask all these things for Jesus' sake and glory, giving Thee thanks. Amen. Amen.